Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joel?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Going to need your text, going to need your voicemails over these next at least 30 days. So definitely get those in. We'll have plenty of time to get to your questions, whether it's off-season drafts or what's going to happen here with the conclusion of the last 14-15 games. But happy Friday to you, Matt. I was thinking about this as I woke up this morning. It was very eerie coming out of work yesterday. I came out about 12:30 a.m. and the city was completely dead. Like, I'm talking 5 a.m. Sunday morning, maybe two or three other people on the street. But other than that, I haven't seen the city of Chicago that desolate, even at night, like 12:30, 1 o'clock at night. There's still a lot of cars around. There's still a lot of people walking in and out of places. It was not like that at all. There was nobody out last night. But how are you? How you doing? Are you coronavirus free, at least for right now?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, knock on wood. Happy and healthy as of right now. Actually, even looking forward to we'll get together with some friends this weekend to celebrate St. Paddy's Day and my birthday, which happened to fall on the same day. And I'm sure the city of Chicago, despite the mayor and the governor canceling all St. Patrick's Day related events, the parade, the river dying, which, you know, usually takes place the Saturday prior to St. Paddy's, which is tomorrow. I'm sure that the streets and the bars will still be packed. So you may have had an eerie experience leaving work last night and feeling like the streets of Chicago were empty, but I don't know. I have a feeling that this city is still going to rage despite the fact that, you know, people are encouraged to not be gathering in large groups right now, because there's one thing Chicagoans do and do aggressively. It's celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Get on that bird and keep playing.
I saw Michigan State too. They had canceled classes and went straight to online classes, and every person was lined up at the bar at 12:30 at night trying to get in. It was like 300 or 400 kids, and they're like, well, canceling classes does no good if kids are just gonna line up at the bar and pack into a place, you know, inches from each other. So
what do you do if you can't learn? You drink.
Yeah, that's
right?
True. That is very, very true. So yeah, I don't know, over the next, I guess, few days, next week or so, we'll see how much more severe it at least gets here in the city of Chicago. We just continue to see numbers go up and up every day. But also, too, Matt, yesterday was just so weird. Worked the most bizarre 6 hours of sports radio ever, because how do you run sports radio without sports to talk about? So it's definitely difficult, and, you know, at least right now, it's hard for us to grasp what we're going to talk about 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. But with the idea of running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of sports programming and not have anything to talk about, is going to make for some very interesting sports. Well, I guess it's just talk radio, at least now, for the next 30 days or so. But it's just very, very, very weird. And also, too, to hear the responses from some people and the lack of urgency or the lack of awareness of what this virus is doing to our society is pretty mind-blowing, too.
It really is. I mean, I'm writing a column right now. Just took a pause for us to record this episode, but I'm writing, you know, my weekly pecking order for NBC, and I figured I would just write giving my fellow sports fans ideas for ways to keep themselves entertained over the next few weeks without having any games to watch, because I was struggling with it myself. I mean, like last night, I was sitting around the house being like, all right, Thursday, NBA on TNT. What doubleheader? Oh, wait, crap. Nope, nothing, nada, no games. And, you know, even between the last time you and I were on the mics and today, we got more cancellations of various things. Like, the, you know, not only were all of the individual conference tournaments canceled, with, you know, especially the weird one where, like, there was a Big East game, I think, that was being played over in New York that, like, they played the first half of it, and then they canceled the tournament altogether at halftime, you know, and then Duke made an announcement that they were officially, you know, putting a stop to all of their athletic competitions, including, of course, men's and women's basketball teams in the tourney. Kansas then released a similar statement like an hour later, and basically put the pressure on the NCAA to make their official announcement that both the men's and women's March Madness tourneys were canceled. That happened. In addition, like, I think just this morning, the Masters made an announcement that the Masters, which was, you know, always scheduled for early April, first weekend in April, is that's being postponed. Like, there's just nothing. So, you know, we're going to have to get creative. We're going to have to get creative on this podcast, and we're going to have to get creative as sports fans over the next several weeks to fill the time. But, you know, thankfully, we have podcasts. We have YouTube. We have the NBA draft will happen at some point. We have, you know, lottery-bound talent to evaluate, because guess where the Bulls are right now?
I know we joked about that yesterday, but, yeah, that's in fact where they are. They're 7th worst record in the league right now, so... I ran my one simulation for the day yesterday, Matt. I still have yet to do it today, but guess where we landed?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say 7th.
No, we dropped to 8, so that's fun. That's a fun way to start.
Of course we did.
Of course we did. I'm going to try and run a simulation, just one simulation every single day to see kind of where we end up. I tweeted that out yesterday. I just thought it was funny. I was like, if things could only get worse watching your team, the only last bit of hope that you have to play around with in a simulation like that, and they drop down to 8 instead of 7. But you're definitely right. It's going to be very weird watching ESPN and any of these other sports channels for the next 30 days. And the thing that I'm more curious is, like, how does TNT, how does CBS, how does True TV, how do all of these TV channels fill their time slots now with all of the program that was supposed to be dedicated to the NBA, to NCAA tournament? It's going to be difficult. Like last night, for example, instead of TNT's game going on, they replayed the All-Star game. So we're going to see bizarre things like that being played in these time slots for the next, I don't know, NBA's at least canceled for the next 30 days, and they're going to reevaluate that. But we may get baseball back sooner than that. I was reading a lot of articles this morning too as well, and a lot of people are just surprised at the mere fact that all these sports leagues were so on board and ready to make a decision right away. They didn't think that sports and Americans were ready to give up their lives so quickly, but I think it was only for the better good of all of us, eliminating people from crowds. And I think really the tipping point was going back to Rudy Gobert and just the him having it, and then Donovan Mitchell ending up having it, and then a referee ending up having it. I think that scared enough people across the leagues to say, you know what, let's shut everything down. It's not worth infecting our whole league. It's not worth infecting all of our fans and letting this thing spread even faster than it already has.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any other, you know, way that they could have done this. And I know, like, when it comes to the tourney, there are some people who are saying, well, couldn't you have just postponed it indefinitely instead of just canceling it altogether? Because just, you know, Adam Silver was on yesterday on TV talking about how he sees the calendar working out moving forward and thinks that knows that it'll be at least the next 30 days where they will not play any NBA games. And of course, when they resume, they will take certain other precautions into account, you know, notably and likely playing in empty stadiums with no fans. But they still very much have some plan in place to bring the NBA season back and to complete it, whether that means eliminating the remainder of the regular season and just going straight to the playoffs, or perhaps changing the playoff format and condensing it somewhat to try and deal with the calendar. At least that's our hope, is that at some point it will come back and this NBA season will find some resolution with a champion. But I understand why people are frustrated that the NCAA just straight out canceled the men's and women's tournaments instead of just postponing it. But at the same time, you know, safety is safety. So as much as I'm going to miss watching the tourneys this year, because that's such a fun part of this part of the, you know, the sports calendar year, like there is no logical counter argument to these precautionary measures that are being taken.
And like the last thing on this, and then we promise we're going to get back to business as usual and try the best we can to talk about the Bulls, the NBA, maybe some draft stuff over the next few weeks. And we'll start that with today. But I noticed that the Chinese Basketball League is looking to try and start back up again and inviting players to come back over, the ones that are at least signed, guys like Lance Stephenson. There's a few other guys, too. Jared Sullinger is one of them that plays over there. A handful of guys from the United States, they played in the NBA before, play over there now. They're just trying to get started back up now, and that's been 2.5 months that they've been shut down for. So I try to take that in terms of thinking about how severe it was in China compared to how severe it is right now here and where it could potentially go in the next 30 days. And if the CBL shut down for 2.5 months, we may be looking at a month, 2.5 months before the NBA kicks back off or any of these other leagues kick back up. And you got to think, too, like China was holding full on citywide shutdowns to the point where everybody was locked in. Nobody was on the streets. So I don't know. It's a guessing game at this point in terms of when we will see things happen. But believe me, these leagues, these TV stations, everywhere, the heartbeat of sports is going to want this back as soon as possible. So they're probably doing everything that they can to figure out ways that they can bring this back ASAP. So with that, man, I don't really have much more on the coronavirus. I did hear Woj say last night, though, that the Jazz are lucky that they don't have games to play right away, because it seems like a lot of teammates are really, really, really pissed off at Rudy Gobert. He said they're, it seems like a lot of relationship rebuilding is going to be necessary over these next 30 days with him and his Jazz teammates.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to make some amends and repair some damaged relationships there, because what was once thought to be just a silly joke turned into something a lot worse than that. And yeah, at least to his minimal credit, Rudy Gobert, you know, made a formal apology via his Instagram account to say that, you know, a large part of what he's been feeling over the past few days, in addition to concern and worry for not only his teammates, but for everybody dealing with this COVID-19 thing, is the gross embarrassment of how he conducted himself. And I mean, it's unfortunate that it had to happen this way. And who knows? I don't know if we'll, you know, learn as other teams and players on other teams are tested and whether or not we get more positive results. You mentioned, you know, there was an official in addition to Donovan Mitchell that has tested positive recently. We'll never know if Rudy was the first one or was just the first one to be tested positive. But the way that he chose to act leading up to his diagnosis, of course, just made it look really bad from a PR standpoint. So, you know, I understand if his Jazz teammates are upset with him, but I think Donovan Mitchell handled his side of it really well when he decided to go public and talk about it. And he and Gobert both just talked about the importance of making sure everyone stays informed and stays as healthy as possible. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't have a long-term damaging effect. But, you know, I was saying to you just yesterday or just earlier this week that this probably is going to hurt Rudy Gobert's image for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. Even to the point where we can get to the point, I don't know, a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, where this can finally be taken a little bit more lightly and maybe people start making jokes about it. But like you said, yeah, this has pretty much stamped his image, at least for the extended short term. And yeah, I don't know. First and most important part is to repair your relationships, not only with your teammates, but especially Donovan Mitchell, who ended up getting it because of you, directly because of you. So Yeah, I feel bad for him too, because everybody seems to be piling on, because, I mean, even people are considering him agent or a patient zero of professional sports. So that sucks, and I don't think people should pile on for him, but he is also an idiot. So we can do both. We can say we feel a little bit bad for him with all the shit he's taken over the last couple of days, but at the same token, he's still a moron, complete moron for doing what he did. But with that, let's take some questions. Let's take some texts, and we don't have that many voicemails to play. So if you do want to drop us a voicemail over the weekend, maybe give us your thoughts. And if you've got draft questions, if you've got questions about this Bulls team, or you just want to give your thought about the season as a whole, if this ends up being the we saw the final game of the season, then what your evaluation of this entire season was. So you can drop your voicemails at 331-979-1369 or your text there. Matt, the first question comes from the 815. It says, "Hey guys, I wrote in about trading LaVine for Ben Simmons, but my question now is, what's your guys' take on potentially hiring Mark Jackson? Everyone and their sister on Facebook wants Mark Jackson, and I seem to be the only person screaming that I don't think he's a good fit or a great coach. What's your honest opinion?" Matt, let's circle back, go back to Ben Simmons and that trade proposal for a second. 76ers, to me, are very interesting because I don't know what they're going to do if things fizzle out again eventually when we get to play games again. If they end up out in the first or the second round of the playoffs, you have to do something. You have to trade Embiid. You have to trade Simmons, maybe get rid of Tobias Harris. Whatever the case may be, but it seems like they're going to have to make some type of move, and maybe it does come in the idea of having to deal Simmons or deal Embiid. But what do you think about the Bulls if 76ers said, all right, we're going to put Ben Simmons on the table, would that be a guy you would want to build a team around, trade LaVine for, or trade a multitude of players for a guy like Ben Simmons?
I mean, yeah. You know, a few things. First of all, I mean, you mentioned Tobias Harris. I think that his contract is going to be a bigger problem for them than the chemistry of Simmons and Embiid, because I think they just grossly overpaid him to keep him around once that was basically their alternative option to knowing that they couldn't keep Jimmy Butler. Because I just don't think he has performed up to that contract at all so far. But I do also think that they might be coming to a head with this realization that Simmons and Embiid is not a good enough tandem to get it done. And I've never believed in them as a team that can win in the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs and even get out of the Eastern Conference. If it were me, I would keep Simmons and look to move Embiid. And that's just because of Embiid's injury history. You know, he's had some healthy seasons in the last couple of years, but even this season, he's missed some time. I know, you know, Simmons is the one nursing his way back to health right now, but to me, Simmons is the less risky choice if you decide to keep one and move the other. If, you know, from the Bulls' perspective, I would love Ben Simmons. As much as I love ragging him about his lack of a three-point shot, maybe that's something that still comes around. He's still a fairly young player with lots of years left to develop his game. And the parts of his game that he has already are damn impressive. And I would say head and shoulders above any of the pieces the Bulls have right now. I don't even think you could debate that. So I would love Simmons on this Bulls team. But I think that if the Sixers are to move one of those guys, they would probably try to move Embiid, or at least that's what I would do.
Would you trade for Embiid?
Would I want Embiid on the Bulls?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
It's hard
great,
for
great, great talent, but the injury history worries me, and I think he's mentally soft, man. He talks a lot. He talks a lot of trash. He has fun on his various social media accounts, but I think he's soft.
Yeah, him and Jim Boylan, could you imagine that? Imagine those two guys going at it, especially if Embiid's pissed off at Boylan. I could see Instagram posts and reminiscing of the days of the Rajon Rondo era and his Instagram posts. But I think I'm with you. I do like the idea of trading for Ben Simmons, but I think, like, to your point, my question is, like, who would cost more in a trade? And I think it's Ben Simmons. Just because, like you were talking about, when Embiid plays, Embiid is the absolute dominant player. Probably, what, top 10, top 15 player in the NBA? But the problem is keeping him on the floor consistently. So, and with the Bulls, I don't know. We don't have to rerun through it, but the Bulls' awful, awful medical history over the last 5, 6, 7, 10 years. I wouldn't trust the Bulls to be able to keep him healthy. And without
hashtag
a healthy,
when Derek got hurt.
Yeah.
Hashtag in our building.
Oh. So that's the one thing, is it's like not necessarily don't trust Embiid or his skill set. And it doesn't even matter to me about what the Bulls would have to trade at this point to go get him. If that was something that you were going to do and you could promise me full health for Embiid, then fine, whatever. Trade whatever you need to go get Embiid. You would automatically have a star then. But none of that can be guaranteed to us. So at that point, is like the Bulls tend to like big men who have talent, who can shoot, who could potentially be their star. The Bulls drafted two big men to try and be those next guys. So there is clearly somewhere in that organization they love big men. So Joel Embiid would be a perfect fit here with the Bulls. You'd have to give up way too much. Same thing with Ben Simmons. And I don't think the 76ers, like you said, I don't think they're going to trade him. I think they would trade Embiid before then. But like you said, too, Tobias Harris, that contract is gross. And I don't know how you have that much talent as a 76ers team and not be able to figure it out at this point. It's mind-blowing because here in Chicago, we have no talent and no guys can stay healthy. And yet we get frustrated at games where the Bulls blow a fourth quarter lead at 8, 10, 12 points. So I can only imagine what 76ers fans are feeling.
Yeah, some variety of that probably.
Just a little bit of frustration. All right, let's go on to the next question. This isn't really a question, Matt, but more of a something maybe we can do next week. I haven't caught up on JJ Redick's podcast, and I don't really listen to it normally, but I did notice that he had Jimmy Butler on there. And I have heard that it's good. I heard that he talks a lot about what's going on, what happened in Philadelphia. And I also heard towards the end, he talks a little bit about how they can fix the Chicago Bulls. So maybe that's something we can do next week, is kind of break that down, talk a little bit about Butler. But
yeah, I would say in the meantime, if you haven't listened to that Redick episode or the Jimmy Butler episode of the JJ Redick podcast, you absolutely should. It's really good. I mean, it's quintessential Jimmy being Jimmy. He's very honest. He's very open. He's unapologetically himself, which, you know, I think to some degree to some of us in Bulls Nation got a little bit frustrating towards the end of his tenure here. You know, I think that maybe the Jimmy Butler prima donna ego stuff was overblown a little bit, but there was certainly plenty of truth to it as well. And that fractured a Bulls locker room. It caused a splinter with other players like Derek and Joakim. Obviously the three alphas here was a gigantic disaster. But he had interesting thoughts about his time with Philly, you know, because he and JJ were teammates for a brief period of time with the Sixers, and about his exit and about when he realized that it couldn't work and that he couldn't stay there. And some interesting thoughts about Brett Brown as well. And then, you mentioned towards the end, JJ asked him, how do you fix the Bulls right now? Because obviously that's where Jimmy spent the first several years of his career. And Jimmy's answer, and, you know, again, go listen to it yourself, but paraphrasing, his answer was like, I don't know. He was like, I think they'll get it together, and I hope they'll get it together. And the one part that, you know, really made me smile was hearing Jimmy say, like, you know, I think they'll get it together, and I hope they'll get it together because, you know, those fans deserve it. He was very complimentary of Chicago Bulls fans because – I mean, you know, he saved us in a dark time when Derrick Rose couldn't stay healthy. When we were trying to stay relevant. Jimmy saved this fan base for a short period of time. And, you know, we showed him all the love in the world, and he felt that. So it was nice to hear him say that.
You know, I haven't listened to it yet, just but hearing you say that, particularly about Bulls fans, seems like he always felt like that, you know, and he understood it too. He was here during all of the Derrick Rose heartbreak and the frustration with Joakim Noah and the organization and him and Tom Thibodeau. He was here through all of that, and he understood. And I think towards the end, where, you know, even you and I, when we first started the podcast, was Jimmy Butler's last year, and even killing him with his ego throughout that last season, he even understood, I think, fans' frustration wasn't directed really with him for the most part. The majority of frustration was with how this team got to this point and how did we get here without without staying on top? And how did we get here with all of these injuries and all of this chaos going on with this organization? And he knew they weren't going to pay him the money, and he knew fans were pissed off about that and just kind of hanging in the balance. So I feel like as much shit as some fans gave Jimmy Butler on his exit out of Chicago, he understood that. He understood. He got what was going on here. And he knew the fans, I feel like, for the most part, weren't directly pissed off at him, but more so the situation in itself. So it is good to hear that Butler didn't just come out and straight up either clown the Bulls or say, yeah, whatever, I don't really give a shit about that organization. It is cool to hear him recognize the strength of this fan base.
Yeah, and it was crazy to listen to, because JJ was like, hey, you know, maybe Jimmy has some kind of insight onto where the Bulls are, how they've gotten here, you know, because the Bulls stuck in this rut of a failing rebuild is the direct result of deciding to not keep and build around that guy. So he might have every right to say, yeah, to hell with them. And they thought they couldn't win with me. Fine. But, you know, look what I'm doing here with this young Heat team around me. You know, up until the NBA shut down, they were a hot team, had, you know, home advantage and, you know, first round of the playoffs and maybe more. So he, you know, he has every right to be petty if he wants to be when it comes to his exit with the Bulls. And it just is crazy to think that when you hear Jimmy talk and reflect on time in Chicago, like, this rebuild has been such a struggle since he left that it feels like a lifetime ago. But then you realize, like, dude, it's not even 3 years. We're not even 3 years removed from Jimmy being traded away.
Oh my God.
And that being like where we were was, you know, the Derek injuries were tough and Joakim was kind of faltering as he hit the middle and late stages of his career. But you know, Jimmy was entertaining, man. And Jimmy won us some games. Jimmy didn't win us enough games, apparently, at least according to, you know, his bosses. But it's crazy to think about the timeline.
I'll never forget the game he hit the game winner against the Nets at home and just literally pointed and banged on his chest and said, this is my fucking city. This is my fucking court. I'll never forget that game watching him. He is a true dog, and he was the cool thing about it is he started here. He grew up with Thibodeau. In terms of his NBA career, grew up as a Bull, and I think Bulls fans, for whatever reason, maybe it's a Chicago thing too, I feel like we always get more attached to the guys that are quote-unquote homegrown, as in drafted the guy, developed the guy, he stayed here, he was the star. Similar to how Cubs fans maybe feel about Chris Bryant or a few other players in the Cubs. Same way that we feel about Bears players sometimes when they're here for a long time. They become generational type of players. They become the heartbeat of the city. So it is. It's a little disappointing that it ended that way. I know you and I still don't back down from the idea that I thought it was the right move at the time. I still think it was the right move, regardless of how long this is going to take us to get back to some type of competitiveness or at least the playoffs. I don't know at this point. But the fucked up thing, Matt, that I heard and was reading an article too, because this was interesting, is I can't remember where it was published, but it was a couple days ago and Jason Pat retweeted it and it said one of the depressing things about a team once they end up deciding to rebuild or ended up deciding to be out of the playoffs and try to reconstruct their roster, it takes them on average of 8 years to get back to a level of competitiveness. Competitiveness meaning back-to-back playoff appearances, a team that's actually trying to compete to take it to the next level, to maybe compete for an NBA Finals. Matt, 8 years? We're in year three. 8 years?
Why do I like the gif of the old lady from Titanic right now? It's been 84 years. It's that's a sobering thought. That's a very, very sobering thought.
We understand better than anyone
the way that this rebuild's gone so far.
I hope it doesn't take that long. If it takes that long, I don't think we're going to see too many people at the United Center when games get started back up or even next season.
And I think that's the thing that's causing some Bulls fans to worry right now. You and I were both in favor of the Jimmy trade when it happened. We thought it made sense. I was always worried about the super max that it would require to keep Jimmy around and, you know, paying him upwards of like $35-36 million annually in the back end of his prime. He already has a lot of miles on his legs, and I didn't know, I didn't believe that he could be the best player on a team that could win a title. So if that's the case, then fine, trade him off, tear it down, start over. But the start over part has not gone well. And I think that's why some of us are worrying, because now it's looking like the Bulls are struggling to even get back to close to where they were, which was stuck in mediocrity with Jimmy Butler. But I think right now we're looking at that mediocrity being like, well, fuck, I'd gladly take that. If that's mediocrity, then I would have rather had that than this stuff that we're suffering through. But I think that's the sobering thing that fans have to remind themselves of, is that when you do a teardown and a rebuild, it's not easy and it doesn't happen quickly. And as much as we like to roll our eyes and stuff like that when it comes out of the mouths of, say, John Paxson, there is truth to it. But you also say, all right, well, we have to have the right people in place to build this from the ground up. And that's the frustrating part, I think, the most for this fan base right now, is that we have no faith in the people building this.
I think on top of that, too, uniquely, we got kicked in the nuts 3 or 4 times while we were supposed to be at the top. Derrick Rose's 2 ACLs, those are 2 massive kick in the nuts. The frustration with Joakim Noah, the constant injuries with Luol Deng, and then on top of that, too, of course, the team that was supposed to be our team, the early 2010s team, had to face off with arguably one of the best teams of our generation, if not the second best team of our generation, in prime Dwayne Wade, prime LeBron James, and prime Chris Bosh. So it just feels like ever since the 2 three-peats in the 90s, we've continuously just gotten jabbed by the basketball gods. And it sucks for fans, particularly my age, 25, 26, and younger, where we don't really have any memories of the 90s. My memories of Michael Jordan are him playing on the Wizards, Matt. That's the first time I actually really remember Michael Jordan playing, was his final season with the Wizards. I was alive. I was in kindergarten, first, second grade when he was still playing with the Bulls at the end of his career, but I don't remember any of that. I was probably even younger than that. I don't remember any of that. I remember when he came back with the Wizards in 03.
I'm so sorry for you.
See, I mean, you can understand the frustration.
Yes, I absolutely can. And it's why I've always said that I understand that some fans younger than me are more nostalgic and so aggressively nostalgic about the Derrick Rose years, because it's like that's what they have.
That's what we grew up on.
We understand.
Well, yeah. Oh, God, John Paxson. Shut
up. We understand better than anyone. We know as well as anyone that we've not done anything.
That was really my favorite. Right there. That was my favorite.
All right, Jordan, let's take one more text and then get out of here. Speaking of star talent, leave the Bulls, as we were talking about Jimmy recently, this from the 773 says, have we seen the last of Zach LaVine in a Chicago Bulls uniform following the NBA season suspension? So wondering if the regular season is just shut down for those teams that are not playoff bound and the Bulls don't play any more games this season. Is that the last of Zach LaVine? I will quickly give my answer of no, I don't think so, because of his valuable contract and the fact that I believe a new GM means the exit of Jim Boylan this offseason, and that will be enough to not have Zach request a trade away from the Bulls. What do you think?
God, I hope so. I want Zach LaVine to stay here, but I don't blame him if he goes to management and says, if you don't bring somebody in here that's actually going to realize that we're wasting years, you're wasting years of my career, and what we're doing over the last 3 years is absolute horseshit, I want out. The NBA is so player empowered now. Zach LaVine can say that. He can be like, okay, cool. Take my money. I will sit out a year until you guys trade me. We already saw this happen with Anthony Davis to some type of extent. So if he is that frustrated, he will go public. He will ask to be out. But I think he wants to give the Bulls one more chance here, one more legit chance, because he knows it seems like the team together has a lot of chemistry and doesn't seem like those guys necessarily want to leave that situation, but it's more the frustration with everything else going around the organization. So I'm with you. I think he's going to wait to see who they bring in as the new GM, see if he can formulate some type of relationship with them and see if that puts them back on the right track. But yeah, again, like, are you going to get fair value if you decide to deal LaVine this summer? Of course not. You're not going to get fair value for a guy that's going to drop you 24, 4, and 4. and shoot over 40% from three and basically be your workhorse, you're not going to get the same type of value that you think you're going to get for him at $19.5 million. There's a lot of people around the league that don't see Zach LaVine as high as that you and I do, or don't watch Zach LaVine on nearly the daily basis that we do. So I don't think they get the value for him. So I'm saying that I think he does stay. And that brings up another point too, is, you know, then what does that mean? Do the Bulls look to shop some of their younger guys if they do want to try to take another step forward and really accelerate this to the point where they're making a drastic move or a roll of the dice where they decide to maybe shop Markkanen or shop Carter or whatever the case may be. But I'm with you. I don't think Levine's going anywhere.
Yeah. And I'm with you in that. I hope he doesn't, because I do think that this contract that Zach is on for two more years is one of the more valuable contracts in the NBA right now. The dude is a borderline all-star player, giving you that kind of production, as you mentioned, and doing it for less than $20 million annually. Other than players on rookie-scale contracts, those are contracts that just straight up don't exist when you talk about production compared to cost. And so my hope is that, as opposed to the Bulls choosing Fred Hoiberg over Jimmy Butler, the Bulls do not choose Jim Boylan over Zach LaVine, for fuck's sake, and they get in a new GM. And that new GM picks their own coach, and that coach is somebody not named Jim Boylan, who Zach LaVine can be cool with and hopefully develop a positive relationship with. And maybe also Zach LaVine can be a little happier if those other players you mentioned, like Lowry and Wendell and Kobe, are properly developed, coached up, tutored in this offseason, and Zach has a little bit more help so he doesn't hate his life as much next season.
Let's hope that's the case. And I mean, he even said last year too, throughout the offseason, that he wanted more of a role, more of a, not necessarily like a yes, no, a final decision not to go through me, but at least to have a conversation about being a part of what's next and what he thinks that they should do. And I think that's essential for any team that wants to have a working to good relationship with their star players, to ask their opinion on stuff. And it doesn't seem like the Bulls do that a whole often. So I don't know. I hope they do. I hope they take his opinion and take it seriously too, because this might be the only opportunity you have at a borderline star, at least for right now, unless you somehow pull the luckiest rabbit out of your ass and end up with a number two pick or a number three pick this year. But even that doesn't necessarily guarantee you a savior. So I don't know. There's a lot of questions.
There
this
is no Zion in this draft class that we know. There is not even a Ja in this draft class that we know. I know a lot of Bulls fans have excitedly talked to me about, the LaMelo Ball as like maybe the prize of this draft, and I'm just having a tough time getting myself excited about it.
Matt, because, I've already
guess
said
what? We're not winning the lottery anyway. So, you know, cool. Well, I look forward to welcoming that Obi Toppin kid from Dayton to the Bulls this summer.
That looks like the most Bulls player I've ever fucking seen in my entire life.
Right? Doesn't it just look like that's something that's already destined to happen?
He's the most Bulls player I've ever seen. If I could pinpoint one player, it is him. That's funny that you said that.
Although, to my knowledge, he has no connection to the state of Iowa, right?
not for now, but maybe by the time we dig up on Monday when we return, we will find some type of connection to Iowa State or the state of Iowa in general. So, but well, I would like to say and finish
if
this.
If it's not one boring hick Midwestern state like Iowa, it's another, like Ohio.
I would like to say, though, I would like to give my full endorsement for hashtag Lonzo Ball, or Lonzo Ball, not Lonzo Ball. Hashtag LaMelo Ball to the Bulls. I am fully on board for it. So we'll, I guess we'll see where the Bulls end up if the draft lottery ends up happening a week or a month from now.
If the kid does turn out to have real NBA caliber talent, maybe even NBA star talent, cool. If I ever run into his dad on the streets of Chicago, I'm decking him.
Was here for the JBL just about a year ago. And my best friend got a picture with LeVar and with his business partner that ended up fucking scheming like $4 billion from him. I forgot the guy's name, but yeah, what a scumbag.
Oh, yeah, that guy who just like robbed him blind.
I can't think of his name. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
But
never lost.
But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again for listening. We will be back on Monday with some fresh episodes for you guys all next week. Start maybe getting into some tournament stuff and see what else is going on. If you guys want to hit us up at 331-979-1369, you can do that as well. We will be taking your texts, your calls, I am sure, for the next at least 30 days. But tweet at us as well. At Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Once again, 331-979-1369. If you want to get your updates on baseball, what's happening there due to the coronavirus, or just a little bit more of a preview of the regular season and what's to come, go hit up Locked On White Sox with Herb Lawrence and Chris Tannehill, and also hit up Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be talking to you guys on Monday. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
We've talked about, we're really hot on Bobby Portis, McDermott, Nikola Mirotic, Felicio, Paul Zipser, who we're high on. We've added Jerian Grant, who we talked about.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.